Today's reading is in the book of Luke, chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Luke, chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout all the surrounding country. And he went in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." And when they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. I think that this instance must have been an emotionally trying time for Jesus. Just kind of put yourself in his shoes and think about this for a moment. He's been away from his hometown. He's been going around and speaking to people, and they've been receiving him well up to this point. It says that they glorified him. And when he comes to his hometown and does exactly what he's done in other places, you know, going into the synagogue and spending time with them, reading and talking, I'm not talking about miracles, but just going in and reading and talking, they don't like what he has to say because they want to see more. They're not satisfied with words, and they're not satisfied with, just talking about the scripture. So they ask him for more. They ask him, "Do the things that you've done in other places." And they ask that question, "Is this not Joseph's son?" So instead of being happy that one of their own is home, and instead of being happy that out of Nazareth is coming the Messiah, this glorious one, the Son of God, instead of being happy that they get to hear his words, they're not satisfied. And what do you think would have happened if he had gone about and fulfilled what they were asking and healed others and did these things? You think they would have been satisfied with that? They would have accepted him as the Son of God, the Messiah, and bowed down to him, and there would have been no other question, no other requests? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. In fact, I think that the example that he used talking about there were many lepers, but only Naaman was cleansed is interesting, because Naaman had that servant girl that was Jewish that told him that one of the prophets from her home country could cleanse him. And he believed the girl, and he went to his king, and his king believed, and he went to a long journey to go and find this prophet, find this cleansing, and brings lots of things to compensate with, even though that's not what Elisha was looking for, but he brought these things to compensate. And he eventually finds Elisha. Elisha tells him to go and cleanse himself in the river. Of course, at first, Naaman doesn't do that because, he doesn't like that idea of, nothing grand was done for him, but he's reminded that he didn't have anything to lose. So he did what he was told, and he was cleansed. So Elisha didn't go seeking Naaman out Someone who believed that something could be done for him came and sought him out. And I think that's the difference. I don't know what would have happened in Nazareth if Jesus had started doing a bunch of miracles at this time there. But I tend to think, based on what I've read here and based on my own experiences, that it wouldn't have made a lot of difference. There would have always been something else they would have asked. We'll believe if. And you see a lot of that attitude throughout Jesus' ministry. I'll believe if you'll just show me one more sign, do it for me one more time, just, you know, talk to me about it one more time. And that's sad. That's really sad that people can't develop faith just off of the evidence that has already been presented. They want more. Sometimes people today still have that attitude of, well, if I saw a miracle today, then I would believe. Or if Jesus would come show himself to me today, then I would believe. Well, the evidence is already before you. If you won't believe the evidence that you can search and investigate, then why would you believe something else? Nazareth didn't believe because they saw him grow up. I said that idea was based a little bit on my own experiences. When I started preaching, I would go back to Giddings, to where I grew up, and you know, people would be commending me for preaching. And so I thought, well, I'll use this as an opportunity to get some Bible studies. But I learned pretty quickly that the reaction was much the same as it was to Jesus. Just asking, you know, is this not one of our own? Did we not watch him grow up? They were all happy to see that I was preaching, but they weren't really wanting to see the action behind it. They didn't want to engage in studying the Bible about those things. They didn't really want to listen to me. They still, I don't know, saw me as a little kid. I don't know what the answer is to that. But I relate a lot to this with Jesus because of that experience. So that's why I say it had to have been an emotional time for Jesus to have those that he had a personal connection with, people that he grew up around, grew up with, and they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't accept him, and he had to turn them away. What the root of it really is that little unbelief that was there. Similar to what we see with, you know, the leaders of the Jews that kept asking for a sign, though I don't think it was on that magnitude because they had some other motivations. But Jesus picks up on that little kernel of unbelief and rejection. And you see it happen when he doesn't do exactly what they want to do. He's no longer one of us. He's no longer, well, this is Joseph's son. No, they're going to take him out on a cliff and throw him over. I mean, what is that? He won't capitulate to the crowd, so let's kill him. And that's terrible. And of course, it is by the power and the deity of Jesus that he is able to just pass through the crowd. They cannot do what they have planned. There's another point I want to make too about Elijah and Elisha and him using them as examples is that they were largely rejected by the people. Remember how alone Elijah felt? He felt like he was completely alone, and God had to remind him, you're not alone. You know, there are thousands that are still loyal to God and still faithful to him. Of course, when you think of an entire country, thousands is not really that many. But Elijah thought he was completely alone. That's how rejected he was. Elisha wasn't rejected quite on that level. It didn't reach that point. But he still faced a lot of rejection as well. And the fact is, Jesus wasn't going to sit there and try to capitulate and do what they want, begging and pleading for them to believe. No, if the evidence is there and they don't believe, then he's going to move on. And that's what he does. Jesus is looking for people of faith. He's looking for people who will believe. He's still looking for people of faith, and he's still looking for people who will believe. Too many times people put those limitations on their belief. When God says there cannot be any limitations, you must believe completely. You must turn your whole heart over to God. So something to think about for today. regarding our faith. Am I responding to God in faith? Am I truly believing in Him and living out that belief each and every day? Or am I putting limitations on my belief? And so we need to pray today. We need to pray a prayer of praise to God for His power, His majesty, His deity, for exactly who He is, and declare ourselves loyal to Him. Thank you for listening today. Please come back for another reading tomorrow, and please also continue in prayer that God may be with us all.